How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
Welcome to Podcaster's Choice Series on Night of the Living Podcast. My name is Freddie. It's my pick this week.
It's my pick. Mine!
Heavy metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The animated...
Titstravaganza.
Titstravaganza anthology film from 1981.
God forbid you see a penis, but man, there's
bush. You saw
bush.
A penis?
Yeah, for like 30 seconds.
You saw a penis, though.
And then there were a bunch of phallic imagery throughout the rest. But yeah. Amy's here.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't good enough.
Andy is here.
My titties.
Ooh. Can I sleep with you, Frank? Mikey B is here.
That's Mikey B. I've seen lots of areolas this week.
Yeah. And Kelly's here, and he's going to have the roulette movie later, The Hatred.
Also, did Fifth Element realize that it had already been done before? Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I think it was... I think he deliberately did that.
Yeah, but it's real.
Hey, heavy metal called Fifth Element and wants its
story back.
Story back.
And imagery and everything else.
And it's
I do love Fifth. I'm just saying.
Flower petal areolas.
Every time I watch heavy metal, I see a little bit more Fifth Element. And this time I was like, holy shit, that entire first like 20 minutes is fucking Fifth Element. Like completely.
Yeah. But we're seeing heavy metal in Fifth Element as opposed to the other way around, right?
Hey, no, we'll get there. We'll get there.
No, heavy metal came first.
So yeah, heavy metal came first.
Yeah,
by a long time. By a long shot.
Yes.
By a long time.
I love you long time.
I love you long time. Forever and always.
So, we got some birthday boy to celebrate, Freddie.
Birthday.
Freddie is now 40.
Happy birthday.
He's 40.
Freddie and fabulous.
40 is a great age. I shit you not, I felt younger at 40 than at 30. I hope
I do.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm not herniated right now.
That's so good.
That's good.
I got we had to say it. Lordy, lordy, Freddie's 40.
Oh, Mike and Freddie and Kelly are all deep.
I will tell you.
In their middle age.
Get over here, shorty. This dick is 40. That's what we're changing it
to. I can't wait till you guys turn 50.
I got a great compliment at work.
It's 50.
Somebody I said, you know, they found out I had turned 40, and they were like, oh, if we had known you were going to turn 40, we would have done more in Decorator Cube. And they had me guess way younger.
So what did they think? Say?
They didn't say exact numbers, but way younger.
You could tell their eyes.
38.
They said I was the healthiest president they had ever had.
They're like, your asshole looks like it's only 31.
Inches from the ground.
Oh.
That's actually accurate.
I know. That's why that joke is so good.
It is.
Yeah, well, I turned 38 this week.
Yeah.
So Andy and I are still holding it down.
38 is great. So you can rhyme that one, too.
38.
You feeling great at 38,
mate? Yeah.
We're bringing down the average way down for
you guys are basically podcast. Elders of your 30s and we're infants of our 40s. So, the saying.
We're freshman babies.
So, we were merely freshmen.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
We have some other birthdays, listener and friend birthdays. Ben Buckingham, Will McReady.
Good day, Ben. Is that how you do that?
And Bearded Brad.
Day.
Yes, it is that time of year where I feel like everyone I know is just, it's the onslaught. We call it that every year. It's just constant birthdays.
A lot of birthdays in January. A lot of people I meet have birthdays in January. Yeah. I wonder what month has the highest level of birthdays.
Means like we're all September. Like cycling together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all synced up.
We're all synced up.
Our mom's uteruses.
Our mom's uteri.
Oh, yeah. Like Lois had the master vagina then.
Yeah, she did.
She was the first.
The master vagina.
Does that make you feel good to hear?
Definitely.
Who rules by the town?
master vagina?
So good job,
like,
Lois.
I give birth to Bigs a up. New age.
And then all our moms stepped in line and said, get pregnant.
Yeah,
I want to. They did. I want to give a big thank you to Mandy Arthur, who just jumped up from the $10 to the Beelzebub level.
Yay, Mandy, thank you. She's awesome. She's a long-time listener. I follow you on Instagram, as you know.
We love you a long time. Yeah.
And now, that came just in time because if you don't know how Patreon works, you're in a state of flux. You gain people, you lose people. We've been...
It's like my
weight. We love you.
Some days I just can't control it. I call it a cheat day. But you fluctuate, and that's... But our equilibrium has maintained, so we've been able to continue to pay down the studio renovation, and that's because of you. Patreon.com/NOTLP. That's special stuff we're doing. We're doing coverage of the new X-Files season.
We bought tickets to Kelly Clarkson's tour.
Did you?
No, I'm joking. I was just saying.
Because she's saying because of you.
I gotcha. We've been trying to get to the theater to do more new release discussions.
I got my movie pass.
Amy got her movie pass, so we'll have more of those.
But you're still not... No, I don't want to see dumb, like, films. Don't bring me to films.
It came in the mail this week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we all have movie pass now. Andy has been doing Late to the Party, which they just did The Room. Yeah. There's all kinds of good shit on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Night of the Comic will return soon.
We'll probably add more.
We have one episode in the can that's recorded in the summer that's not out yet.
Yeah, because it has to be late.
Yeah.
To fit I'm not sure anybody has any problems out there they want to talk to Mikey B about.
So
I always love.
Do. Have a problem.
The most
create a problem.
Create and a then problem.
Send I want to talk to you about my new therapist and sometimes how I feel awkward.
Ooh.
How am I supposed to be in that room?
I love talking about therapists.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys should.
I
just
like
do
her.
It.
Yeah, we'll do it
right now. Yeah. So anyway, there's lots of toys in there. Oh, okay.
She right must now. Be a play Save therapist.
Ooh, what kind of toys?
Or a sex therapist?
Child toys.
Oh, damn it!
I also want to welcome Dustin Chisholm, our buddy, to the Patreon fold.
Hey, Dustin.
Hey. What's up, bro?
We've met him. He's a sweet guy.
He is a sweet guy. We'll be going to the No Sleep tour together.
Here's
in
what
March.
You need. I need to tell our listeners. You know, per Paul Ryan, we've got this extra $1.50 a week now.
Oh,
so give that to your favorite horror podcast. You could go pay for your Costco membership with it. Clearly, that's what most of the secretaries at schools in Lancaster, Pennsylvania are doing.
That's $6 a month. Or if you look at it this way.
Paul Ryan's a fucking fuckface.
You could sign up at the $5 level.
But if you got that extra $1.50, I mean, hang.
And that would pay for it. You won't even miss it. And you'll help us keep doing what we're doing. And you would get...
Is it pre-tax or after-tax?
An NOTLP pin.
Yep.
What? Every year. And all that extra content. And any other surprises I can come up with, which I'm hoping once the studio is paid for, we'll have a lot more surprises coming to you in the mail.
Nude photo shoots.
Yeah,
already in the bag.
An actual piece of one of our anuses. If we have to have a surgery, like
all
in
right,
movie
Freddy.
Wetlands.
Mm-mm. Tell us about Mm-mm. Wetlands.
Oh, I saw Wetlands. Oh, actually, you know
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Now you
should just
that.
Read the tweet.
I
thread.
Think
yeah,
Andy almost unfriended you in real life.
I saw the movie too. Per your tweets,
this mm-hmm. is
I was
true.
Trying to take a nap.
Oh, I had to take my watch off because I was taking a shower and I'm like, oh, I'm all centered. It's like,
yeah, sorry about that.
I had to have my phone. I had to keep it on because Millie was at the groomer. I was waiting for the call. So I just had to keep hearing ding, ding, ding. I'm trying to sleep.
Well,
here.
Honestly, Elise loves playing with Freddy. Like, she loves, like,
egging on.
I think it's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. She was having a great time.
I like it when somebody pushes. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying just push back to push back. Yeah. But when you push back, it's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen Wetlands, by the way? This is my text to the group. Have you seen Wetlands, by the way? So far, it's fantastic. I was at like minute 30, maybe.
Oh, my.
Kelly says, I don't know what Wetlands is. Mikey B says, I have not. And I say, it's on Netflix. Watch it and thank me later. Oh. And don't eat while you're watching it.
Oh, the intrigue's
Warning.
Been dropped.
All right.
Elise, no, wait. All of these are separate text messages.
Yeah.
So yeah,
if listeners at home want to play along, imagine you're either your hand vibrating or your phone going off.
Bing, bing.
Then I say, or Elise says, yeah, I've never had any desire to see that movie. It
Me
sounds
either.
Repulsive.
She knew Ding. About it. As soon as I started, because I Wikipedia'd it, and I started reading, she was like, oh, I know what that is.
And I said, it's plenty gross, but it's also really, really good.
Ding.
That's one text. Then I said, I would compare it to Trainspotting.
Ding.
Then I would say, with more sex.
Ding, ding.
Then Elise says, yuck. And then I say,
ding.
And diarrhea.
Ding.
And Elise says, double yuck.
Ding.
And then I say, and hemorrhoids.
Ding, ding.
And anal fissures.
Ding, ding.
And sex with vegetables.
Ugh. Floop. I'm changing now. We're in our own text thing.
Everybody's different.
Then Elise says, why would I want to see this? Floop. LOL. Lots of love. And I say, because it has a ton of heart, despite all of that.
Floop.
And using pussy juice as perfume.
I have a foghorn sound now.
Then Elise says, yeah, I read a very long review when it first came out and decided it wasn't for me.
Ding.
Nope.
Ding.
Big old nope.
Ding.
Then I say, and a girl shits on a guy's chest. Then I say, but also the human condition, you know.
Bleep.
Then Elise says, spoiler alert.
Ding.
Pass.
Ding.
Hard pass. That's the worst part of all. Then I say, and a turducken. Ding.
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 And cocaine.
Ding.
And an iguana.
What?
It has an iguana in it, too.
They drink out of it?
Then Elise says, okay, the turducken is the worst Bob's part.
Bloop. That's...
Then I say, it looked undercooked, too.
Ding.
Then she says, I changed my answer. Then she says, ew.
Ding.
Then she says, duck emoji.
Duck emoji, ding.
Turkey emoji.
Ding.
Chicken emoji.
Ding. She made a turducken.
Getting PTSD again.
Then I say, and skateboarding on a subway train.
Ding.
Then I say, and she eats her boogers too.
Ding.
I'm not making any of this made? It's all part of the movie.
It's German.
I get it, but gross.
It's German.
Oof.
Then Kelly says...
Remember that.
Kelly says, you guys should have a podcast where Freddie tried to convince Elise to watch movies and call it, yep, nope.
Ding.
LOL.
Boy,
and Elise I'm says, the turducken is skateboarding? Okay, I may be on board for this. I said, I think... oh, no. Yeah, I said, I think I'll just read this exchange on the show.
Ding.
Which I'm doing now.
Yeah.
What point does Andy start
to turn on you? Oh, that's coming.
Elise says, I draw the line there. Like, for real. That can activate my gag reflex just hearing about that.
Ding. And
then she sends a crying, laughing face.
Cry, laugh. Ding.
Then Andy comes in. And he says, I'll watch it if you stop with a text, Freddy. Jeez.
Ding.
And I say, yeah, I've had a few moments where I felt like puking.
Ding.
Then I said, she just puked on a rat.
Ding.
In the movie. Then Elise says, LOL.
Ding.
Then I say, then she adopted it.
Ding.
And then Andy says, calm your tits.
Ding.
And I say, no! Ding. And then I send a gif of Aladdin and the monkey from the movie Aladdin saying, start panicking.
It's when they're running away from the fire in the Cave of Wonders.
Yep. Then Kelly says, I'll calm Elise's tit with a massage.
Ding.
Then Andy says, start a new thread and leave me out. Thanks.
Ding.
Thanks.
Then I said thanks. Then Elise likes an image above. Ding. And then Kelly says, now whose tits aren't calm?
Winky face.
Ding.
And then Elise finds like one of the greatest like
memes
I've ever seen, with a bad drawing of somebody's tits that are flying out of control, and it says no. Then I say,
ding.
Are you sure, Andy? Because she's saving a piece of her anus that was surgically removed earlier in the film. Don't you want to see where this goes?
Ding.
Then Andy says, I'm fine with the descriptions. I'm not fine with a bajillion texts.
Wow.
Then I send
him. That's a guitar riff.
I sent him, as a reply to that, a gif of Freddy coming out in A New Nightmare where he's on the talk show. Yeah. And he's like, you're all my children now.
Ding.
Then I said, is your phone getting hot yet, Andy?
Ding.
Then I sent him the internet troll, like, goofy face smiley guy, and he says, you mad?
Ding.
That was a great little animated gif, by the way.
You mad?
Then Elise says, she liked an image, and she laughed at it as well.
Yeah.
She liked it and laughed
at it. We also laughed for real. That was a literal, that was an LOL, and that it was an LLOL. We literally.
An IRL LOL?
Yeah, laughed out loud when you posted the little, you mad. That was real funny.
Well, at this point, I know that I'm being a jerk, so I said, okay, I'll give it a break. But then something else happened.
Ding.
Except now, her and her friend in the movie start smearing their period blood on each other's faces.
God. Ding.
And I sent along a gif of a couple of guys throwing up into a fire.
Ding.
And then I said, okay, now I'm done.
Ding.
And Kelly said, is this in German? And then in parentheses, he says, sorry, Andy, this is not an effort to annoy you. Just curiosity.
Ding.
And I said, yes. so German.
Ding, ding.
And then Kelly says, yo, what's my STVRR? Straight to video Russian.
So here's the question. Not to yuck anybody's yum. But why?
Well, it's based on a novel. So
it is. Oh.
A German novel. It's German.
A lady wrote this novel.
A German lady.
A German lady.
So it's okay, Amy. A lady did it.
And then a man made a movie out of it. Yeah.
A German man.
So now how do you feel about it?
So he made it better.
I can tell you, though, it was one of the better movies I've seen in a long time. It's really, really good. Carla Jury, I think her name is. It's really awesome.
I'm okay. I don't need to see it, and I don't need anybody convincing me to. Yeah. Thank you.
It's got a super sweet
message.
It's really very parent trappy. Because she keeps trying to get her... The whole movie is her trying to get her divorced parents back together.
Yeah. No, that's what it... That, every description... I read like four different synopses, and the main point is her trying to get her divorced parents to reunite.
And it is so fucking sweet. It is one of the most heartwarming... That's what makes it great, is because it's a heartwarming movie with tons of grosser... It's like Grosser Than Gross.
It is.
Plus The Parent Trap.
Diarrhea. Cha-cha-cha.
So I do highly recommend it. Not if you're squeamish.
I don't know.
About bodily functions.
Or in German, squeamish.
Squeamish.
I don't think I'm going to watch it.
I'm surprised you are so squeamish, Dr. Balak.
I'm not going to watch it just because Freddie was so pushy about it.
That's right.
See? And Andy's like, I'm not a contrarian.
I'm going to go against my own best interests to a movie I probably like.
You're going to start voting Republican, aren't you? Oh, you
accept that, Andy. It doesn't bother me a bit that you'll deprive yourself of something you'll enjoy.
Okay, here's why. I have to say I got kind of perturbed because I have an old phone. I refuse to upgrade because phones aren't free anymore, and my phone still works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I get like a flurry of texts on a row, a lot of times...
Were you jerking off on your phone?
No!
And you're like, argh! He's like, oh, God. Oh, God.
I do hate by the way.
I'm not saying I wasn't jerking off, but I wasn't doing it on my phone.
Oh, okay.
I actually was jerking off.
Oh, my God.
That explains a lot.
And you were getting in my way. Yeah. But my phone overheats when I get a lot of texts in a row.
Oh, it really does?
Yeah.
I was just kidding about that.
And it burns the whole room?
It does. It goes, and I got the little battery signal.
Oh, because Andy's cheap. We're not allowed to have fun. Okay.
Do you know how to mute a conversation?
His phone might not be able to do that.
I couldn't mute it because it was coming so fast and furious.
It was coming so fast and furious.
Had I left you out, you'd have been like, what's this conversation you guys are having that I wasn't part of?
You know you would have been sad.
I can't figure you out. I'm a very complex person.
You are. You're complicated. It's okay. We're all complicated.
You're like a French filmmaker's plot.
But yes, I probably will watch this movie in spite of Freddie's pushiness.
I really do want to know what other people thought about it.
He kept trying to make me watch it. I'm like, no.
Amy agrees Freddie's very pushy about things.
He's extremely pushy, but I love him.
Yeah.
I love him so much.
And the worst part is sometimes he's right.
I know. Don't even get me started.
Show dogs, man.
Instead of watching that, we watched The 40-Year-Old Virgin yesterday.
I love that movie,
too. I ain't seen that in a minute, son.
Does it hold up?
Oh, it's awesome. It's even better. And then we started Ocean's 11.
Freddie and I have been watching The Goldbergs.
Great show.
It is.
Love that show.
We didn't like it when we first started.
I remember you saying that.
It's fun.
Big Tasty is the man.
I do love Big Tasty.
I've been getting wrecked by This Is Us.
Aww.
I just started.
You're in the first season? The crock pot, apparently.
I had the best time listening to Mike and Andy talk about This Is Us this morning while I was doing the dishes. They were, Andy was saying... He was going down a checklist of tropes that he expected to happen.
Colin, by the way, really likes This Is Us.
Yeah,
my mother-in-law and sister-in-law love it.
It's if you need to cry, it's pretty cathartic. But yeah, Andy's right. I mean, Andy's trying to make the point that it's
Wait, maybe no, he doesn't.
It's emotionally manipulative.
Emotionally manipulative.
And I was just going through like things I assumed happened, and I was right 75% of the time. Right?
You were right. Pretty. Yep, 75%. I'd say 75%. You're correct.
I know it's not for me. Like, I'm just not... I'm already, like, a hot emotional mess all the time. So I don't need extra. Uh-huh. That's why I like Real Housewives a bit later.
Extra. But so here's what kept me away from it, and here's what maybe might help, if anybody wants. Okay. I'm not going to say it's a fun show. I'm not a fun show. I don't know what it is. I've been entertained.
It's a TV show for sure.
I've flown through the first season pretty quickly.
Lots of people love it.
But it's kind of the Pixar... Sweet. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. you know, the beginning of Upper.
You yes. got a friend in me.
You know something, you know it's going to be incredibly sweet, but at the same time.
I know I'm a Pixar defender, and, you know,
I just burp.
So I will defend it till the day I die.
I want you to.
Regardless of its flaws. But I feel...
What's wrong with Pixar?
No, I love Pixar. No,
I talk about some people think it's very emotionally manipulative, too. But...
Well, it is.
All movies yeah. are. Anyway, go ahead.
I just feel Pixar is more organic and is wringing of the tears.
It's more ground... I mean, it's definitely more grounded, but yeah...
It's because it's a movie, too, and bad shit can't happen every week on a show.
That's true, but it does on the show.
I got the hardest thing in this world is to live in it, Andy.
The one that made me laugh and cry at the same time was when the overweight guy flies across the country to proclaim his love to his girlfriend and then has a heart attack at the end of the episode.
An old man.
I am.
That was kind of emotionally manipulative. I don't know. I feel like I need somebody to talk to this about, but I feel like this is not a show that's going to connect with any of you guys.
All right, listeners, email Mikey.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I love
it. Sounds like crying. Parenthood a little bit. Like Parenthood or...
Yeah.
Well, that's... So, I remember I watched a little bit of Parenthood, but then I decided it was too much. But my mother-in-law and sister-in-law love that show, and they love to cry and watch that show, and now they're all on the This Is Us boat.
My ex-wife and her brother loved the shit out of Parenthood. I did not... But I was forced to engage in it quite a bit, so that it may have. Maybe I would have liked the show if I hadn't been.
I need a good
held down and force fed something like that.
When you were younger, were you more of like a Parenthood, or were you more of a Father of the Bride?
Father of the Bride.
Parenthood.
Yeah. Parenthood.
Yeah. I don't remember either of them. I know I've seen them.
Okay.
Parenthood's such a great movie.
I like a little zaniness. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Billy Zane.
I need
from One Zaniness. Direction.
I need Billy Zane. I need Zane Grey.
Zane Geef.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well.
Yeah.
Just your friendly reminder that Horror Hound Weekend's coming up. HorrorHoundWeekend.com.
E.T. Reunion.
Yeah.
And Sting is coming, but not...
Drew Barrymore is going to be there.
Drew Barrymore.
Not is E.T. going to be there?
However, Ron Perlman...
Yeah, Ron Perlman.
...will be.
If you need to get rid of a speak and say, you could probably speak and spell.
Speak and spell.
Thank you.
If you need to.
If you need to get rid of one, I bet you can sell it that week.
We just hung out with Nate and Jessica. Nate, of course, being the editor-in-chief of Horror Hound Magazine.
Scarlet Lane Brewing was at Cincinnati Beer Fest.
They had the Horror Hound Ale Part 2,
uh-huh.
which was very good.
The ale?
I like it more than
they should have called it Return of Horror Hound Ale.
Return of the...
They missed an opportunity there.
Ale.
Whorehound Ale is dead. The final Whorehound Ale.
Yep.
Oh,
they know the last one.
The new ale mare.
Bobby Gimlin's going to be at Horror Hound.
That's right.
He was one half of the Patterson Gimlin film. Well, you didn't see him. He wasn't in it because all you saw was a real Sasquatch.
Real deal, baby.
100% verified.
So that's not your friendly reminder.
I don't think it is a suit. There's a lot of evidence to say that it's not a suit.
Any other
Hollywood professionals?
Housekeeping before we move on.
We suddenly trust Hollywood professionals.
We do when it comes to making fake Boys. Movies.
Yeah, I know when I go to the doctor Boys. And he's like, you want a second opinion? I can refer you to a Hollywood professional.
I
always take them up.
They didn't make it. Well, but what about when you go to the, is this movie fake or real? Do you go to a doctor for that? Would you trust
the doctor's opinion? I do, and the doctor's like, that's a man in a suit I know from biology class.
And then the Hollywood people who are like, they didn't have that kind of, they didn't make that kind of hair mesh in 67. It would cost too much. You could see where it contours to different muscle groupings in the body.
You're listening to Bigfoot, not a Bigfoot.
Carly, can I just say that your undying belief brings me so much joy.
Good. It's a Patterson Gimlin film that solidified it for me.
The day you stop believing in Bigfoot, I'm going to drown myself in my bathtub.
Everyone is. The whole world is going to walk into the ocean.
I mean, I'm not saying I have doubts, but I'm willing to believe.
You should have doubts. Everyone should have doubts.
But I just love how, you never lost your sense of wonder.
No, man. Everyone needs to find, everyone who's interested in having their doubts assuaged needs to find their piece of evidence that convinces them.
They need to give faith a fighting chance.
Yeah. Do you want to make a Bigfoot in the Slender Man buddy cop movie?
Slender Man's not real.
All right, everybody.
All right, I'm sorry.
That was fun.
I'm sorry.
We'll be right back.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
I wish you'd said that.
And we're
recording.
Back. Freddie said a thing.
I just said Living Sasquatch.
With Queen Latifah.
With Queen Latifah.
All right, Kelly.
Oh, I forgot I had to do this.
Bring it down.
All right.
The Hatred.
The Hatred.
Directed by Mikey Hiho, who who we know.
Yeah.
I pronounced it The Hat Red.
Well,
he did a really fun short once called Hush.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was really good.
I might have watched that.
This is a compliment sandwich. I thought I'd say something positive before you started.
It's all right. Look.
That's not what you said before.
No. What I mean is, like,
no, all he said was he just...
It's all right to do that because this is going to happen. Actually, I don't have too much to say about this movie. In its most basic form, there is a house. There is a house. There's a house.
New Orleans.
And these five pretty ladies who are college students and educated and smart, they go to it. I do appreciate, I guess, that they were trying to break out of the whole, like, five ditzy blondes with big old boobies getting their lingerie and then get killed. But there's, you know, it doesn't make it any better. It actually might suffer for that. I'm just kidding. But, like, there is real boring. They go to this country house that their professor owns. They're very into, like, Nazi history. And there is a Nazi, there's Nazi memorabilia there, basically.
Dear God.
It's not a collect. When I say that jokingly. It's a piece of, it's a pendant that Hitler or, you know, they bestowed upon this Nazi that used to live there to take care of. And it's kind of haunted. And
is this in Germany or something?
It's sort of the, you know, no.
Oh.
But this is what's funny.
Don't hit my husband.
I wasn't hitting him.
You hit him.
I'll hit you.
He bruises easily.
It was kind of the amulet.
It did hit him. Yeah. Though, right?
The amulet that's hidden at this farm is kind of the Loch Nahr of the movie. It makes people do stuff, I think. Because at the beginning, here's one thing. The beginning is the best part. And
just like the skin,
I had to check three times to make sure I was watching the right movie, because the synopsis for the movie kept talking about five women go to a farm, but this starts with a Nazi who used to be a Nazi soldier and has relocated to America in the, you know, 40s or 50s, and he's now Amish Mennon. I don't know, he's something. Yeah. He owns a farm with his wife and his daughter, and he's very, it's the Wishmaster.
Yeah, Andrew Divoff. Yeah, saw he was in this.
But he was good. I liked his performance, but it was kind of weird. It's one of these, it was shot in kind of like, in a way that I appreciate, sort of, because it's trying to be serious, you know, but it just, he's kind of trying to keep his daughter wants to go off and be with her friends and hang out, and he's like, you will not go any far. I am fat German. And his wife is like, what's happening? And he murders his daughter in the barn.
Yeah.
Drowns the shit out of her.
Yeah.
After he receives this, it's a fucking iron cross. He hides it out in the barn. And I could never tell if they knew that he used to be a Nazi or not. Yeah. I would think they wouldn't, because
for listeners who don't know, an iron cross is a commendation you get in the German army in the 40s.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know that. I just like, oh, a cross that is made of iron.
Well, it is. I don't know that it was.
I'm
like,
sorry, Andy. Iron.
Iron.
I don't know if it was the actual the award, mm-hmm. but it was shaped like the iron cross. But it was like an amulet. It was about that big. Maybe it was. I don't know. But it comes to him, and the letter is like, take good care of this. This is how Hitler wants to say thank you for you being so bad. And so he hides it in the wall in the barn, and then his daughter comes out, and she's like, I want to go to town. And he's like, you don't need to go to town. And she's like, I want to. And so then he drowns her in like a water bucket.
This is town. I call this bucket town.
And then
get it? It's a joke.
And then I guess he buries her, and then his wife poisons him because she figures it out. So the daughter goes missing, and of course he is acting extremely suspicious. He's like, I do not have to answer your questions. She's just not here. Like, it's clear that he murdered to everyone involved. The cop comes out and he's like, well, I'm going to be watching you. And this is why I wasn't sure if they knew that he was a Nazi. They were like, you know, this town welcomed you and, you know, you were welcomed and despite, you know, your past and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I can't imagine like a Nebraska town welcoming a former Nazi soldier in the 40s or 50s. Anyway, that's like the first 25 minutes of the movie. Like, and I'm like, am I watching the right thing? There are no college ladies going anywhere. Then after that, like first like half hour, then it says present day.
Like there's like half an hour of setup.
It felt like a half hour.
Oh, okay.
It might only been, I said 25 minutes. It might only been 10. I'm not sure. It felt like a half hour.
Okay.
I'll have to go back and look to
Kelly,
be sure.
Kelly.
No, it was long. Listen. Yeah.
No, you're allowed to think that.
It was a very long setup. Anyway, but it was the best part because then these ladies, and they're going to go together to this place, and they're all chitty-chatty. And I started to kind of like...
Oh, women be talking.
No, no, it's just... women I'm can just be... I'm chitty-chatty.
They're like, have you seen the latest episode of This Is Us?
But no one wants to watch a movie about me being chitty-chatty on the couch. They go out to this place. I sort of started to fade in and out. I might have been a little drunk.
Bourbon slushes?
Yeah. Was that what I was drinking yesterday? No, yesterday was White Russians.
Ah.
It's a nice day for a White Russian.
That's just milk.
But and I like
vodka, right?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Oh. I had like four of them.
Sounds gross.
Oh, they're delicious.
What's in really, White Russian Kahlua. Again?
It's Kahlua cream and vodka and ice.
Is it heavy cream?
Yeah.
Oh, that's rich.
I can't do rich. It.
They're delicious.
I don't like White Russians.
I think you would. Maybe with
I've had them. Oh. I'm not a big fan.
But did you,
I don't like a creamy alcoholic drink. Plus, I'm not a big vodka person.
Well, Kahlua and vodka?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you dropped the vodka down to one shot instead of two, the way we were doing two shots, but you might have liked it better with just one shot.
It's more like chocolate milk that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But anyway, so I kind of started fading in and out. The ladies get there. Weird things start to happen. I guess it's the ghost of the girl. They slam some doors. They talk about Nazi history. They help her get out through a doggy door.
Not a big recommend then.
I'm going to go ahead and... I mean, no. No, it wasn't... Here's the thing. It didn't make me angry.
Right.
There's a comp... It didn't make me angry.
You're not like, this isn't a movie.
It was just...
It is definitely a movie.
It was just impossible to keep paying attention to.
Right. That'll happen.
I was pretty excited for it to be over.
Yeah.
So I could watch Ocean's 11, which is what I really wanted to watch.
Right.
But then we were too drunk and we went to sleep.
Freddie and I got real drunk at Beer Fest.
Oh boy, did she.
I blame Nathan. Yeah. Nathan.
Is that was the funny.
Fault in our stars. And Freddie, we get home and he turns on something called Death Spa.
Yeah, Death Spa.
Which, and I was too... I just passed out in the middle of it, but it was really weird.
You kept saying, I love this movie. Where's this been all my life? And she did. And I something I want to talk to you guys is a possible theme around that later, but I did text everybody in the heat of the moment.
I agreed.
Yeah. I just didn't know what we had planned, so... You may hear more about Death Spa in the future if you don't already know everything about it.
But I passed out.
Deathbed, the bed that eats people.
We could be late to Death Spa. I think everybody else has seen it. But
all right. Well, thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Let's shoot some people, shall we? Let's. But I only have one bullet. So I'm up first.
Ooh.
I know, the youngest person in the room. She died too young. Let's hope not. I live, Freddie. Here you go.
Oh
shit, bro. What'd you pick for yourself?
Okay. This is a new Netflix original called The Open House.
Oregano.
Which doesn't look bad. Following a tragedy, a mother and her teen son move to a relative's vacant vacation home where eerie and unexplained forces conspire against them. It's directed by two people, Matt Angel and Suzanne Coote.
It's trending right now. On Netflix.
Your mom and sister were saying they didn't care for it.
I thought you were going to say my mom and sister were trending on Netflix.
Your mom is. Cast Dylan Minnette, who I recognize that kid from something.
He's been in all kinds of things.
Piercy Dalton and Patricia Bethune. I don't know how she pronounces it.
Speaking of open house, do you guys remember a couple years ago, Jordan Peele wrote a movie? It was kind of like a horror comedy about a couple trying to buy a house, and the house was haunted. And like, I think Adam Scott was in it, and it was like, there was just like a trailer for it. And I don't know if it ever got released. And like, it just, it was like, it was built up. It looked awesome. And then it like went nowhere. And it was called like Open House or The Realtor or
Freddie. I'm doing it.
I know. I'm doing something else.
No.
Me too.
No, you're not.
Amy's trying to find the answer. Yeah, but the open house looks interesting enough.
Yeah, I saw.
Andy's shaking his head. No, he's seen it. He's saying no. I've chosen poorly. I just grabbed the newest movie I could find that was easy to watch.
You took the bullet, Freddie.
This is great.
Yeah, it is.
Castle.
Did you see Hell Baby? That was.
I haven't seen Hell Baby yet, but I want to.
Yeah.
Amy, I like Rob. What's his face?
Yeah, how you doing over there?
I can't find what you're talking about.
I think you made it up, Kelly.
No, but I tell you what. Sometimes this does happen where I'll see something, and like it'll seem intriguing to me, and then it'll go nowhere, and then like 5 years later, I'm like, what happened to that? And there's no. Can I give you two other examples?
Mm-hmm.
There was. I saw a trailer for like basically a homemade zombie movie called Two.
Some homemade it.
And it was just about these two people. It was like seriously like shot on like a camcorder. There was a trailer for it. And it's these two people in a zombie apocalypse, like a couple trying to like survive. And it was like wintry and it looked interesting. Never been able to find anything about it ever again. And then there was a movie that I saw a trailer for called Zombies versus Robots. And it had a little like stop motion or look, I don't know what they were, but they're little animated cute robots and they're zombies.
My notorious example of that is worst case scenario. Do you remember that?
Is this the Mandela effect in effect?
Basically.
Yeah, the maybe.
It was Nazi zombies. It had an awesome trailer with these Zeppelins dropping like paratrooping zombies out of them and stuff.
That sounds awesome. What's it called?
It was called Worst Case Scenario, and they were going to make like a feature out of it. And it never happened.
Worst case scenario. I know what you're talking about. I never saw the trailer. But listen, they used to have a series of... They had like a book.
They did?
The Worst Case Scenario. Yeah, and it was like full of shit like that.
Yeah,
but this specifically was a World War II horror movie.
Right, but I think that was like inspired by like... Because
Worst Case Scenario also had like what happens if you drive your car off of into the water.
Well, yeah, it was like that, but I feel like there was like an entry about zombies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe.
There was a Worst Case Scenario zombie edition.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, well... Ready to move on?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. If you know that movie, find it.
This week's main attraction is from 1981. It's the animated anthology Canadian film Heavy Metal.
Hey.
In the 1970s, there was a publisher named Leonard Mogul who went to France. And he was like, we're from France. And he found this magazine called Metal Hurlant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was these awesome sci-fi fantasy stories, the boobies in them. And he said, I need to take this to America. And he did. And they called it Heavy Metal.
I love Heavy Metal magazine. It was a huge inspiration on every creative thing I've ever done.
You can tell when you look at your artwork.
We see all the titties in your artwork.
So if you know the artist Mobius, a lot of his stuff was in there. If you've seen Jodorowsky's
Bernie Wrightson.
This is just such a fun movie.
It is one of my absolute favorite. I was so excited when you said you might pick this because it's just, I've watched this so many times.
Yeah, it's great. There's this green ball of evil called the Lochnar.
It's my Lochnar.
And this character, Grimaldi the astronaut, takes a space Corvette.
It's super 80s. Like, the animation is like this very particular time.
It looks like the Aha video.
Yeah. Well, it's rotoscoping, which is where they film live actors and then draw over them.
Was it, though? Because, like, Ralph Bakshi really, like, perfected rotoscoping. Is that why... I feel like they didn't do as good a job as he did, though. Like,
I think in the beginning, like,
yeah, that's where what
the
I
Corvette's
mean.
Coming through.
That
the
is
atmosphere.
Definitely rotoscoping. Yeah.
But I don't think there's rotoscoping anywhere
The entire
else.
Film is rotoscoped.
Yeah. I thought it seemed like there were different artists that did different sections.
Yeah, for sure.
There are different artists. So what they drew over the original material varies. So sometimes rotoscoping, they'll draw trace basically, but sometimes they'll rotoscope and they'll draw like an alien head. So that's where you're seeing the difference.
But they're tracing over live action?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's, yeah. And that's that makes more sense because, and just to real quick talk about it, because Elise had said like that the animation kind of, it weirdly, like we had a great time watching it together, but she said the animation made her almost like a little nauseous. Like
it was
like
very jittery.
And
yeah, I feel like that moment always added to it for me.
Well, same for sure. And I think for both of us, it did too. It was just like a thing that I had never really thought about. But like if you watch Ralph Bakshi, like Wizards or The Lord of the Rings or American Pop or any of that.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah, it's my good favorite one. His rotoscoping is very like dead on the, like it's, you know, it's still cartoony, but like I feel like the artists and animators really try to maintain, you know, the look of people, you know, like in this, I feel like the artists tried to make it more comic booky. Yeah. And so maybe that's why like the people's faces were wide and weird and
right. Well, then there were also, I believe different artists.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I knew
contributing
that
to each segment. So you're going to get a wide range of style, even though I do think it's consistent throughout. It has a look. Yeah. That is like when you see it, you know it's heavy metal.
And I love the anime. It's like so unique unto itself. Like, yeah. But it's so 80s watching that Corvette come out of the fucking space shuttle. And he's like,
it's such great soundtrack too.
Yeah, it does. What's my favorite Blue Oyster Cult song is in this movie.
Oh, that's your favorite?
Veteran of Psychic Wars. Yeah,
that is a good one.
The movie Waking Life, is that rotoscope?
No, I've never seen that.
Never seen it.
Mm-mm. From A Scanner Darkly is.
Okay, so that's the same. I think
that's like both very Richard advanced.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know if that was the same thing.
I think they even called it, they had like their own name for that type of.
Okay.
So
little girl.
Little girl.
You think she can get fucked by the Lochnar? Yeah. She doesn't.
Yeah, there is something really spoiler alert sexual about the way the Lochnar corners her. And
yeah, and it was about to go up her skirt, and then it doesn't.
I didn't feel that, but y'all are just, you know, I think too many tits.
As boys,
no, we all at least picked up on it too.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
There was something like very like
made me nervous.
There was something rapey about the Lochnar.
Yeah, there was.
Well, the Lochnar is pure evil.
I mean. Well, it melts her dad.
Yeah.
The astronaut. He comes home. She's like, what'd you bring me? He's like, something terrible. And he opens up the box and she's like, fuck, it is terrible.
There's a lot of melting in this movie.
Yeah. And the Lochnar
melting
has
and melting and titties.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This really fantastic voice. Like James Earl Jones adjacent.
Yeah.
This guy didn't even, I don't think he was credited.
I'm going to show you stories of terror before I kill you.
He's like, he's basically saying how he's influenced the galaxies and everything. And mostly it's like, I've fucked people's lives up.
Yeah.
So get ready to hear some messed up stories.
Yeah.
Because I'm bored, I guess. And I want to tell stories.
I'm the Lochnar.
I'm the Lochnar. And I need to connect all these tales.
And the first one is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. The Fifth Element.
Harry Canyon.
Yeah. Harry Canyon's pretty great.
Yeah.
Is that a play on words?
Maybe.
Certainly. I want to really talk about how Fifth Element-y this is. Mm. Like, again, I didn't even realize in the past, the last time I watched this, which is probably when I was like 25 or 20. Well, I've probably watched it since then, but, I didn't even notice that the little alien creatures at the beginning look just like the Mondachiwin.
Yeah. The lumbering June bug looking things.
I caught it this time. And so then I started like ticking off things like where I was watching for what is specifically like Fifth Element.
Yeah.
So there were them. There was even just the scene where they show like all the cars like in the air passing over the building. The way he looks kind of like
Corbin Dallas.
It's Corbin Dallas, but grosser and not like attractive at all. Even when he gets mugged by the punk guy, just like Corbin Dallas does, and when he takes his weapon, he throws it in a collection of other weapons. I mean, there are like specific things from the Fifth Element. It is like crazy. But then once they start fucking, it kind of stops being the Fifth Element.
Well, he fucked Lilu.
He did, but like not like it goes like to a like more.
And basically that's the Lilu character, because he kind of like just falls at his doorstep.
He takes her back to his place. He tries to give her to the cops.
Got the red hair and everything.
The white outfit, even though it's less skimpy.
Yeah.
I feel like it does start to like get less specific. I feel like Fifth Element didn't take from the second half.
Well, you also got to consider the source material of heavy metal is French.
Yeah.
These stories were in that magazine.
Yeah. And Luc Besson. And
Luc Besson made it. I mean, like, this makes sense that, like, he would reference this material as clearly, like, an influence on him.
Sure. I'm just saying... Some of this isn't just like referenced, it's like specific. Yeah.
You don't think it's an homage?
I'm sure Fifth Element? I'm sure that's what he would say, but like I'm just saying, like,
it's very, very,
it is like exact lifted. Scene, like exact things.
Yeah. So here's the thing I was worried about. So he helps the lady exchange the Lochnar for money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, let's set it
and
up.
And they're gonna,
it's 13 years in the future, the year 2031, New York City. Cars are flying. You have a laser that will blast people out of your back seat if they fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
As a cab driver.
And that's my question. And
there you go. Sorry, now you can go on.
So she has the money and she's in the back of the taxi and they're going to split the money.
Oh, wait, we haven't gotten there. You're getting way to the end.
Oh, well, I mean,
way to
how
the
much
end.
Of this do you have to... Okay.
He rescues her. Yeah. Her dad's assassinated. It's all about the Lochnar still. This is the focus of it. And the gangster wants to...
Rudnick.
Wants to sell it.
The Lochnar.
He looks like the melting man.
He does.
So Harry helps the lady sell the Lochnar.
And they go fucking straight noir with you on this because you have the femme fatale. She double crosses him.
She takes out
her giant naturals.
But only after, taking out her giant naturals and they screw to open arms by Journey.
Mm-hmm. Like so many teenagers have at proms.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to kill you and take the money.
Go on, take the money around. That was not on the soundtrack.
He's going to hit his little button that he has that vaporizes the person in the back seat. Now, here's my question. Why doesn't it vaporize the money? It only vaporizes flesh?
No, it does clothes, too.
Yeah, because her clothes come off first. She's being vaporized.
You get one final look at her titties before she...
That's what he set it for. He set it to biologicals and...
titty coverings
and textiles.
textiles and biologicals.
Yeah,
but wasn't the money like sitting off to the side?
I hope so. I really worried about the money.
He got the money because he says, "Let's just chalk this up as what did he call it?
A big tip?
A 2-day ride with one hell of a tip?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I thought I Cars movies too much.
Remember,
I was really worried.
Can we talk about the mayonnaise that he put on his sandwich with that aerosol?
It was kind of cool, aerosol mayonnaise.
Awful.
But it was like
it's my nightmare.
The way it oozed out, it was Mike had to turn away.
It was the amount of it,
and I was like, "It's safe, you can watch now." And then he takes a bite out of the sandwich, and the mayonnaise runs down his chin, and Mike's like,
"I'm sorry that happened to you, Mike."
It did happen to me.
I know.
And it hurt. Mayonnaise is awful. It's of the devil.
And I want to point out that you hear John Candy's voice for the first time in this one as the cops. He's pretty much every cop in the story.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
All right. What was the next one? I don't remember.
This was Den.
Yeah. The Lochnar takes off and ends up in this teenage boy's bedroom.
And
I think Den is my least favorite.
This is the Cthulhu-y one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ulatek.
This is the one where he has a big dork.
Yeah.
He's got to get his dork covered.
I love all the stories. The last one is actually my least favorite, which I know is most people's favorite.
It's also
Tarna.
My least favorite.
But it is, let's high five about that.
It's, oops, sorry. Wait, that was a better high five.
Tarna's okay. This one I just thought was kind of doofy.
Well, it's like a teenage boy's fantasy.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie is, but even more so this story.
Well, Tarna's the most Mobius of all of them. Like, it's the one that looks like his stuff. And I think it's even his story.
Yeah.
So Dan, this little nerdy kid.
Yeah.
Gets transported to.
John Candy again.
Gets transported to another realm.
Well, I don't think his name when he was a kid.
He was Dan.
He turns to Den.
He becomes Den.
All right.
He's Dan, then he's Den.
He goes through the universe into this other place and he's all muscular with a big old pee-pee.
With a big dork.
But you don't see it.
You see it a little bit.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Yeah, you do you when don't. He's flipping around. Yeah,
like for like a hot second.
No, when he grows, it shows a few times.
Amy's part point of the gag. Is we saw it, but it's not gratuitous.
Oh, yeah. They don't show a bunch of it.
Because then he's standing there.
And the vaginas. You couldn't tell if it was circumcised or not. It's pretty far off in the distance.
He's just standing there when he gets there and it's covered, his whole waist is covered by rocks.
And then he says, I can't walk around with my dork hanging out.
If it had been a woman, which later on it is, he runs into a lady from from Great Britain.
Well, you can thank the MPAA for this.
And she's got her tits and bush out.
They didn't want to show dicks. I'm sure that's why they had to obscure that for the rating.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
That's a good question.
I think it might be.
We're on to you back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
We're on to you.
We cracked the code. We got receipts.
He becomes this like big muscular dude.
It's just a sword and sorcery story.
Yeah, basically. And he rescues a damsel in distress. They
were going to sacrifice to backwards Cthulhu.
Yep. They bone down. Now, he's like 13 or something. Mm-hmm. Just transform.
I didn't even realize that.
Did you know in the original story?
Oh, what? Shit.
That he's a little boy and that woman's like an 87-year-old woman.
No.
And that when he goes through, he becomes this character. And when she goes through, she becomes this young woman.
That's awesome. Yeah. Ulatek, though, I didn't realize Cthulhu backwards.
Yeah, basically. Ulatek is Cthulhu.
That's fucking backwards. Awesome. Yeah. You just clued me in, bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
Straight up, man. Straight up.
But this segment did have my favorite character in the whole thing.
Oh, Ard?
Oh.
The super gay.
Yeah.
Ard.
That's my Lochnar. Give me that.
You stupid bitch.
Like, it's my Lochnar, you stupid bitch.
He is a great character.
He's just so, like, unabashedly gay.
But he's running around in his little toga.
Yeah. Do you think he was like supposed to be like a James Spader-esque from the 80s character?
Oh, this was before. This is pre-James Spader.
Well, then that's what he's doing.
He was supposed to be like a Caligula type.
Yeah. Or like,
well, like the voice and the manner
King Herod
very much
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is a reference directly in this. Well, two things. The composer, Bernstein, did the music to Ten Commandments.
Did he also do the music to Ghostbusters? Because there were like two music cues in this movie that
I
were
agree.
Like straight Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I don't think he did.
When they're on the bridge in the first one, it's like bump, bump, bump. Like,
but I will check for you. But it's Elmer Bernstein. But he did the music for Ten Commandments, and there's even the reference when what's his name? Den looks down and says, oh, this is like a scene straight out of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. And then he has kind of like that similar cue there.
Which I would choose that for my podcaster's choice.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie, but it's too long for him.
Yeah.
So basically, Den saves the lady, destroys the bad things, and rides off into the sunset with his hot bitch, right?
But the Lochnar didn't really do anything bad to Den. So it brought ruin upon other people,
the other people were fighting,
but he
and
got
they
off
were
kind of scot free. I thought he did do
Ghostbusters.
Did he? Yeah. Oh shit! That's I am great. The greatest man alive.
He also did the Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want listeners to understand what just fucking happened.
It's big.
The thing about
I didn't even know, and I was just like, I think that these cues are very similar. I bet he did it. And I was right.
Oh my lord.
You are amazing.
Worship my ear.
So,
anyway.
The Andy's question about the Lochnar, the point of that story is he can resist the Lochnar. That's why nothing bad happens to him.
Because he's so pure of heart.
He's just a good
dude.
He
just wants to get some strange. He wants that 87-year-old poontang.
One of my favorite, maybe my favorite scene in the whole movie is when they split up and he's walking in the room and he's got his hands out like to try and find his way and the light comes on and he's got the queen's giant titties in his hands.
I like her hints.
So many great titties.
Not again. They're like, she's the
no
queen.
No woman in this film was wearing a bra.
Or a shirt usually.
Most
either.
Of the time.
Yeah.
All right. What was the next one?
After Den. Whoops, sorry.
Was this the World War II, or was this the...
No, Captain Stern.
Oh, Captain Stern.
Which is a Bernie Wrightson story. He wrote this one, and it's his art. And
this gave me a Space Ace feel.
Yeah, it was very Space Ace. And actually, what's funny is this is not typical of Bernie Wrightson's art style. It was like a real cartoony... Usually he does horror stuff. But,
Is this Hand Over Fist?
Yeah, Hand Over Fist.
Yeah, it looked like something out of Cracked Magazine or something.
Yeah. He always reminded me of Ichabod Crane from
because of the big nose and the turkey neck.
Yeah.
So,
how was the Lochnar involved in this again?
It was a marble that Hanover Fist had picked
up. That's right.
And he was being bribed by Captain Stern as a character witness because Captain Stern had like 22
I've
counts of
got
murder.
An angle.
Yeah. And this is very much Zap Brannigan.
Yeah.
Only to the extreme where he has no soul.
So was Hanover Fist already a Hulk character? Or
no,
Lochnar did that to him.
Okay. Yeah, they did not expect him to do what he did.
Right, he was supposed to just be this pushover who would get up there, say nice things about Captain Stern, and help get him off on all these horrible crimes.
I don't think that
crimes.
Was going to do it, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is in space, and it is
right.
a cartoon. So in cartoon logic... Certainly, probably.
When I was a kid, I always really loved this one because the way it's very much like that Gollum from Lord of the Rings back and forth where he's like, he's a great man. And
unless you count the time the preschooler prostitution ring.
That was dark.
Yeah, it was dark. Great line.
A preschool prostitution ring. I mean, damn.
Along with the murder, he's being accused of like 32 counts of rape as well. So it's a pretty dark...
Yeah, he's the nicest man I know, except for when he's so dope disguised as a nun.
So, but is there a twist at the end?
No, one is very simple. It's basically...
But it's Captain Stern's like, thanks, you did exactly what you're supposed to do.
And they changed it from the original story where, in the end, I don't remember if he kills Captain Stern, but he lives. And then there's some connective material missing here where there was, if you have like the DVD of this movie, there's an extra segment they cut because they thought it was too long for theaters. And it was called Neverwhere Land, and it shows how this Lochnar leaves that story and ends up on this planet, and it affects everything from like the creation of their version of mankind through all these wars that eventually end their in their world and all this. And then it moves to the B-17 one, the World War II story.
Oh, yeah.
So, but they cut that Neverwhere Land out because it made the movie too long.
Mm-hmm.
Which
they do mention Neverwhere in the movie once.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. The end, I think, too, where it says something about coming from Neverwhere.
Oh, okay. Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
The B-52 one was my second fave.
B-17.
Yeah.
Get your bombers right.
It's also my second favorite. We haven't got to my favorite yet, but...
This is Dan O'Bannon, you can tell.
Yeah.
Who listeners probably know, he wrote Return of the Living Dead.
And Alien.
Yeah. And this is a little bit of both.
Yeah.
These things. I know. B-17, Amy.
But Andy, this one really broke your heart.
Well, I finally realized like this movie really bothered me after this segment because Lochnar's just a dick.
Yeah, it's evil. Yeah. I told you that.
Mm-hmm. Lochnar's killed that girl's a dad dick.
At the He's beginning, and you weren't dork. Upset about it.
But this one, it's because other segments, it brought ruin on people because it was trying to, use its power. But this one, it just lashed onto a plane and started fucking with people.
Turn them into zombies.
Yeah.
Oh, so fucking
cool. These are innocent people.
Yeah, Andy wanted it to be a morality tale where only bad people were punished. But
the animation in this one is my favorite part of it really works for this segment especially. Really cool.
Yeah.
So cool, Brewster.
This one scared the shit out of me when I was
a kid. Me too, especially when like he first goes down into like the, what do they call the balls where the guy hangs with the gun?
Oh, yeah, the gunnery, what do they call that part again?
I don't know, the bubbles. Balls.
It's like some kind of turret.
Bubble. The gun bubble.
It's a gun bubble. Yeah.
They go into the bottom side gun bubble. Yeah. And
bottom side gun
bubble. When he falls down in there and the
bubble
the
gun.
The guy's a zombie and you just hear what's happening.
Yeah, and the blood's trickling under the glass.
It was fucking great.
Yeah, it's real eerie. The way the Lochnar will burn away all the meat and leave these like skeletal. Well, when I was a kid, this is a very personal connection. I'd seen this movie when I was really little, and then my parents took me to the Air Force Museum in Dayton.
Yeah,
and they had a bomber that was, I don't know if it was a B-17. It was very similar to the B-52? One in the movie.
They used to
might have been a B-52, Amy.
They used to have the Enola Gay there. They did when I went there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I wonder if it was the Enola. It'd be some shit if I didn't. I was pretty little when we went. And I remember being terrified of that because you walk through it and it has the ropes. And I remember like the velvety rope type thing that, you know, they would stabilize on that catwalk over where they would drop the bombs out.
Right.
And they had wax figures that looked just like these characters in the movie. Not skeletonized and all that stuff.
But it would have been awesome if they'd done that.
But it was super creepy because I think I remember there even being bullet holes and stuff in this bomber.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a real legit, it had seen action. And at least that's the way they sold it at the museum. And terrified of it. So in rewatching this, I remember I was triggered a couple of times of things that were real spooky. Like after they've been in this dogfight and these... he's going to check on everybody. Only people left are the pilot and the co-pilot.
Yeah.
And the co-pilot goes back into the body of the ship, and there's holes in it. And you can see out into the night sky all these stars.
Well, and you can hear it whistling,
and you hear the wind whistling through all the bullet holes and through the big gaping hole, and he's just finding body after body in the back of the ship, and they're all horribly
very mangled. Very haunted. Very alien.
Yeah.
Like, just such a haunted house in a technological kind of workspace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, it's just so spooky.
It is. That's what's great about it.
And then the shit hits the fan, and the pilot is about to bite it, and he escapes. He parachutes out, and he lands on an island.
Yeah.
And this is like the moment. It's a airplane graveyard, and it's full of these fucking zombies.
Full of zombies.
And I'm just like, I want a whole movie of this.
And the Lochnar probably brought all those planes down, too.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, certainly.
He's a dick.
Maybe it's a commentary on anybody that fights in a war.
Bad Lochnar. bad.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting to my favorite.
So Beautiful and So Dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you like the redhead secretary lady?
This one was fun, but it made no sense.
I liked everything about this because it
had nothing to do with the fucking Lochnart.
It was just goofy and silly, but also just like groovy.
So groovy.
It was super groovy, everything about this. And just like her conversation with the robot, like, can we have a Jewish wedding? It was just, it was really cute. And they just like are snorting massive amounts of space schnee.
And you get a lot of SCTV in this one.
Yeah.
You get like Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
John Candy's in this one again as the robot. I think Eugene Levy, maybe. Yeah. Eugene Levy, Joe Flaherty. Yeah.
Where was the Lochnart in this one?
Oh, yeah. And Roger Bumpus.
She had it in her pendant.
But what did it do?
My theory was that the Lochnart brought ruin upon the robot because she wanted to marry him at the end.
Well, he wanted to marry her.
Yeah, he wanted to marry her, and that was his punishment.
I also love
being married to this like nagging Jewish wife.
Yeah, it is one of the great spaceship designs.
And it's kind of become I feel like it's kind of iconic.
Iconography?
I was like, I feel like there's like a shorter word than that.
Well, there's a great setup in this one where this doctor comes to, it's very like Dr. Strangelove, where this doctor shows up at the Pentagon to brief everybody on extraterrestrials. And his whole thing is to convince them they don't exist. This turns out as an android, it's a plant just to keep people off the scent of the, you know, Earth's not to know.
Right.
That all this shit's going on around them. And I think the Lochnart, you know, makes it malfunction.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that's its influence in this particular story. And then if malfunctions, they have to recall the robot and they accidentally also suck up
the secretary.
And then that's where the romance comes.
Nosedive.
That's some good Nyborg.
I fucking love this one. Is by far my favorite.
It was cute. Nyborg I was just trying left? To understand why, but it was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was I thought it had the tightest writing too, and like everybody. I feel like everything about that one just like clicked 100%.
I always felt that Futurama kind of borrowed a lot of
definitely
from this short.
Definitely.
We get to the bounce back to the wraparound into the final story, Tarna. And this is more of a classic, like, sword and sorcery.
Even more so than the other one, yeah.
Right. It's not whimsical like Den. This one is like a hardcore guts and glory story.
Is she the Tarlac?
Silver pubes.
She is the last of her kind.
Is the Tarlac.
What happens is the Lochnart lands in this volcano. And there's this tribe of barbarians that are awash in its evil lava. And it turns them into these green monster men.
Mm-hmm.
And their leader decides they're going to wreak havoc.
That old chestnut.
Oh, my ghetto.
They will kill anyone who opposes them.
And they're threatening this city.
Yeah. They're marauding almost like Genghis Khan.
And their elders are like, we got to get the Tarlac here. Meanwhile, little baby in a jacket downstairs is like, at the door.
It was so adorable.
I said, Andy, we should create a cosplay for this. The bald page boy who's wearing like briefs and like a page boy jacket and a big giant bow.
Yeah.
Around his neck.
Yeah. The top was like Dandy Fop.
Yeah.
The bottom was like a Circuit Boy.
Yeah. What?
So they had in the gay world, they're called circuit parties where people just go and dance and fuck.
Oh, okay. So the mean green people destroy this city, but they've managed to summon the last Tarlac.
Mike made a great point during this that if she wasn't so slow getting dressed, they would have survived.
Yeah.
Like, she took a long time.
A leisurely flying trip in on her bird.
Mm-hmm. Was this the one where she looked like She-Man?
Mm-hmm. No, that
Shira?
That was Dan.
That was Dan. That was the queen.
That was all.
Yes,
that
was all. This was the slow dressing bird flyer. Yeah,
silver pubes.
Yes. She comes into this temple and like just
she swims across
leisurely. Yeah.
Everything she does is very sensual.
Yes, and then dresses in the least efficient like armor.
It's,
like
it's what the turn back. It's like Cher's costume in Turn Back Time video.
Like, and she's going to go fight with this
It's for movement. Ease of movement.
Yeah, that's right.
Then why wear anything?
She's deadly.
Like heels? Really? Really?
If you want to have fun, Google Tarna cosplay. We looked them up last night.
And yeah.
Is there a bunch?
There's a bunch. And there are people of all shapes and sizes doing it.
How can you fight with a ribbon up your ass? I don't get it.
Well, I think never tried it. I mean, it's probably not any harder than fighting in pants.
Then you feel like you constantly have something scraping against your asshole.
I don't know that she notices that anymore. She's a hardcore warrior.
You're right. When you're right. And she gets her sword, and then she leisurely flies off again.
We should mention she's mute.
Yeah, she never says
anything. There's no dialogue.
It is a male fantasy, like a hot woman that just doesn't talk. Speak.
She's got silver pubes.
Yeah.
And she finds the bad guys.
She kills a lot of bad guys.
You know?
Yeah.
She takes care of business.
She kicks ass.
Takes names. Andy was very, very worried about the bird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he saves the day, and he dies, and that's... Yeah. Well,
He didn't die.
No, they kind of...
They sacrificed himself at the end.
They both
dove into the volcano.
Well, they got electrified. She did her Power of Grayskull thing over it.
Yeah.
So you don't know if she really died or not, but the Lochnar's like, don't sacrifice yourself. I can't be stopped. And she's like, I don't think so. Because that's how she really sounds if she talked.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, good choice. And
she's a gay southerner.
She's like, I don't know. Voiced by Leslie Jordan. They had to cut it out for the theatrical release.
This is a lot of people's favorite. This is the one that everybody seems to.
It was okay. Yeah. It was a little too long, a little too leisurely.
Yeah. It's probably the most like artistic. I'm using air quotes like of all of the entries.
Right.
I mean, I imagine that had to be hard to draw the flying and all that stuff. So good on you. But it's like let's get to.
I really like the score.
Yeah,
so it's really soothing. There it is.
Yeah,
and
so then you go back to the wraparound.
Yeah, the Grimaldi storyline with the little girl whose daddy just got melted.
She's a
just got melted, and the Lochnar's up your curve, your skirt.
The Lochnar's like, oh shit, you're a fucking Tarlac, and then she flies away. Right?
Yeah.
Her hair turns gray, the little girl, and she's going to destroy it one day.
I think Andy made this observation during the movie first, but when he made it, it definitely made a lot of sense. If you've seen the Netflix toys, what's the toys, how the toys were made?
Freddie, what's special? The name of that show?
What's the name of that show, Freddie?
The Toys That Made Us.
The Toys That Made Us. He-Man. There's a lot of influence from, you can tell.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Was He-Man first or this first?
This was first, I think.
Yeah.
Just barely, though.
Yeah. But there's a couple years. Similar. It seemed like when I saw things that... Because I remember like seeing this as a kid and it kind of being more of a nightmarish thing for me than something I really... I think I saw it too...
Was it all the boobies?
Too young. Yeah, too young. Because it just seems like a lot of these things kind of resonated with me in different ways. But a lot of it, it's like, man, I can remember owning that toy in He-Man.
Yeah.
These things they're flying around on. They had... shirts on, but
I wouldn't be surprised really if
sort of
if the development of like the heat because the toys obviously were what came first, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were in direct result of this movie. Like, we need to like get some toys out that will that these kids will
definitely
like.
Watch the Toys That Made Us because they get into
I watched the Star Wars one so far.
Well, they do the He-Man one, there is a He-Man one, and they get into like the genesis of it, and it does start off as a much darker concept when they lighten it up.
Would you like to know what a sexist my husband is? He's like, honey, I have the Barbie one for you here, we can watch the Barbie one. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about?
But you were like, okay.
No.
And I was like, I want to watch it, though.
I never wanted to watch it. Fine.
I got to know.
I didn't see heavy metal until I was probably 11 or 12. My brother showed it to me. It is one of my favorite memories of him. It was really... I fucking fell in love with it immediately. So
you probably saw it at the right age, right?
Yeah. This feels like a 12 to 15-year-old, like, perfect...
It hit my sweet spot, like...
Yeah.
When did you first see it, babe?
I think I was, like... When we first got HBO, I want to say, or the movie channel, I think I was 7 or 8.
Yeah, that seems, like that. I think 7 or 8.
That's way too young.
Because HBO, preview weekend, I think I saw when I saw it.
I had the same experience Mike had, where this movie has evolved for me. I've seen it, I've watched it many, many times, and like every time, well, like the first few times I saw it, it was a scary-ass movie to me.
Yeah.
All of the stories, even the Even the one with Hand Over Fist scared me as a kid. Because the way he was erratic and the way he was chasing him, I know now it plays as comedy, but then it was terrifying.
There's a lot of like upsetting death scenes in this. That's the part, because I feel like in my mind when I saw, I don't think I ever went back to visit it again until now. But in my mind, it was all just music video vignettes and lots of things melting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just seeing it again, I was like, oh yeah, like this is some of the stuff that like in my mind are like, yeah, I kind of remember this. And I remember being really terrified of those scenes.
Now, Amy, I feel like, oh.
Amy, have you seen it before?
Yeah, Freddie made me watch it years ago.
Mater.
Well, yeah, because I was like, I don't know what this is. So and we watched
you,
it.
What'd you think of it back then?
I don't remember at all. I didn't remember a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
So when we watched it this time, I had a lot of, it was really good.
I feel like we need to do maybe a bonus ep where a couple of us watch Wizards and do a compare contrast.
Well, there's also a movie called Rock and Roll.
Yeah, I remember Rock and Roll.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of that.
I've never actually seen it, but I mean, I know about it.
If you like heavy metal, try to find Rock and Roll. I think it's pretty easily available now. But
also, just to get, if you like heavy metal, do not ever watch the heavy metal sequel that came out in the Heavy Metal 2000.
Yeah, it's a real disappointment.
Is that the one with like the female gladiator with the metal breastplates?
Yeah, and she was voiced by some like porn star at the time. I don't. Okay. She was like,
oh really?
Real popular in that moment of time.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, this film like kind of goes there with like Watership Down and Secrets of Nim, of like things in my mind as that I watched as a kid that just really unsettled me.
Barry Nelson, who worked on some of this film, also did Watership Down.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Watership Down is terrifying.
Like, I've never revisited that film. I probably need to just to kind of clear it, because this definitely cleared it for me. It's actually kind of a cozy movie now.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing it, there's a lot of comedy and funny things to laugh at.
This is the first time I saw it, and I don't know. I think I would have liked it a lot more as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Or felt more rebellious.
Yeah, but I was too busy carsing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like being upset by the Lochnar itself. Because Lochnar's just mean.
Yeah, you wanted those people to be punished, and some of them didn't deserve it.
There's too much evil in our current world.
interesting side note. Did you know that I think it was either just Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird that created Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles bought Heavy Metal.
They're still publishing it too, yeah.
And that's also where I think that the Ninja Turtles were birthed.
Yeah.
Because that's a pretty dark
origin.
Yeah. I think he was just like a big fan.
Heroes in a Half Shell. And
ended Turtle up buying power. It. Like reviving it.
Which I'm glad, because it was going to die. Yeah.
I think it's like they do it like 6 times a year or something like that. Yeah. It's not a lot.
It might be just quarterly, actually.
Yeah.
Is it an anthology? Is it?
It's like, all kinds of stuff. There's like a couple, there'll be like art, just standalone art. Sometimes there'll be like a comic in it. And then there's like reviews of stuff too.
Okay.
Oh, it's so great. The covers are amazing.
I think it was really cool just seeing, watch this movie and seeing how many other things were influenced by it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a history lesson watching this movie.
What I love about Heavy Metal Magazine is it's part of the underground comic scene, but it's the part that I like, because I don't love like all that R-crumb kind of stuff,
right?
Like the real weird hippie like I don't like that style, but this was a part of that, like those sort of sword and sorcery comics, like that were real heavy on like sex and like real violent. They were also a part of that underground comic scene in like the 60s and 70s, and that's kind of what heavy metal partially contributed to. That so that is the part of underground comics that I like.
Were you a Fritz the Cat fan at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
What about Don Bluth? Is he connected to? And I mean, no, he didn't do any art on any of it, but
he wasn't connected to this film. But I could see why you would think that from the look of it.
About Fritz the Cat, I am going to rewatch it. I rewatched it a few years ago. Fritz the Cat, another Ralph Bakshi, by the way, movie, and then an R. Crumb comic. It does not hold up. It is such a time capsule, and not in a way where you're like, oh, this is like. Not in a good educational way, but like it is like very, it's like watching a sitcom, like a forgotten sitcom that wasn't groundbreaking from like 1972.
You mean the movie or the comic?
The movie. I've never read any of the Fritz comics.
Yeah, the movie is another one of those ones I saw way too young, and I remember like, it bothered me.
We rented that because we thought it was a cartoon.
Yeah.
It looked like a kid's movie.
Yeah, and then we got our mom to rent it for us, and we watched and like, wait a minute.
Was she watching it with you guys?
No, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one from, Fritz the Cat was the one that's in Different Strokes, right? Isn't this the one he takes one of the kids into the basement and watches Fritz the Cat?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a very special episode.
I don't know if that was the movie he watched. Maybe he definitely showed him stuff, but.
I thought there was a Fritz the Cat in one of our TV shows we grew up with.
Yeah, maybe.
But
it did have the lady from 227
Jack
as a voice. No, the Mary.
Jack
Rosetta Lenoir.
Jack was not Mary.
Mary. I mean, like, hanging out the window.
Oh, right? Pearl.
Pearl!
Yeah. I but think like, it was her. No. Oh, that's me being racist.
Get out!
It was the grandma from Family Matters is what I was thinking. She was that. I don't know why I crossed up two old black ladies.
But this Fritz is like,
it's like crossing the streams.
Yeah,
mixed up.
It is so like late 60s, early like it is like weird attitudes and just like social. It is so
got a weird attitude. Yeah,
weird.
Weird attitude.
Well, it seems like as a parody of the time.
Well, it is, but if
no, like looking back on it, like and I like a current person's idea of what the 60s was.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems very. It's a cartoon, but it seems cartoony.
Yeah, well, it is cartoony, but even so, like I mean, it was made at the time, and it just like there's this conversation where these guys are talking about like, yeah, my daughter's on birth control. It's like this weird thing about people's weird feelings about like getting married. It's such a time capsule, but like a really specific one,
right?
Too specific.
Well, the Fritz the Cat, they were really deliberately, they were reveling in the fact that they got an X rating.
No, I know.
And like that's like they were like, oh, we're just gonna go all the way.
It's not all the sex and drugs I'm talking about. It's yeah. like these
the little human elements that they threw in there for like drama.
Yeah, like it just like you could like see like where
like Woody Allen-esque
kind
of conversations.
And you could just see where the divide was between like the old guard and then young people, you know.
Yeah.
It was just it's actually a little scary when you like the way that you could see that the attitudes were of, you know, the sort of 40s and 50s generation that like built everything and how they felt like, you know, all these young people were disgraceful and ungrateful and just gross.
Yeah.
But it's just weird. You just take my word for it or watch it.
Do whatever.
Fritz the Cat was in Different Strokes.
Yeah, it was.
Dudley got molested by the Bicycle Man episode.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Well, you remember they made a follow-up back. She did that movie, Coonskin. I apologize for the...
is that true?
The title, yeah.
I did not... this one I don't know about.
Yeah, there's a still from it. You can find this on IMDb if you're curious.
Oh, boy.
It's incredibly racist.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
And it had some big name voice actor, not voice actors, but big names doing voices.
I bet that's not going to show up on Netflix anytime soon.
Probably not. It had Barry White in it. Scatman Crothers was in it. But
so it's not racist if they're involved, right?
Oh boy,
it's worse.
My favorite. I'm not getting into that conversation.
No, it's like validation. There's
no
real quick.
No, my Andy, just look at one still from this movie and tell me it's not racist.
No, maybe
they're in on the joke.
My favorite line from the Different Strokes molestation episode is when Gordon Jump, what was his name on WKRP?
Oh yeah.
Anyway, he tells
he owned the radio station.
He tells Arnold and Dudley, "You can have an awful lot of fun with your clothes off."
Mm-hmm.
That's true, though.
I don't remember anything else about the episode, but I remember that.
Well,
line.
When I googled it, it's him serving the Dudley pie.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say Dudley realness.
Jesus pie.
What'd you just break, Andy?
It's just stuff.
Oh my god.
It's just things.
All right. Well, Freddie.
What is that?
I don't know.
It's tape. Freddie.
Oh. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for your choice. I think we all had a lot of fun with it.
Thank you for all the tits.
I'm glad.
Deaths.
Yeah. Thanks for the tits.
This is a long, you know, you'll go down a rabbit hole if you start looking at everything the people involved with heavy metal worked on and Bakshi worked on.
Yeah.
You'll find stuff that nobody would be caught dead associating themselves with now, which is a fun history lesson.
Yeah.
And, excuse me.
Don't die.
I had to cough. You probably heard it.
So what?
Speaking of Bakshi, one last fun fact about homages. Ralph Bakshi said that Peter Jackson ripped him off with his Lord of the Rings. And while I don't believe he ripped him off, in a very similar...
You mean because they did that whip, where there's a whip, there's a way song in both movies?
Yeah, that wasn't Ralph Bakshi's. Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't him?
No.
Oh, I didn't know
His that. Lord of the Rings is all rotoscope. That was Rankin Bass.
Which one did the Hobbit one?
Rankin Bass.
Okay.
And they did a Return of the King. I don't know why, just that one. But Ralph Bakshi did like the first half of Lord of the Rings and just called it Lord of the Rings. And there is the scene where the Hobbits meet Strider and where they meet the first Nazgul and they climb under the tree. That is very much lifted from Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings. Go back and watch that. It is, and then compare. It's straight up, just very much like Luc Besson's homage to heavy metal.
Mm-hmm. Got a question for you before you do the patrons.
Uh-huh.
In heavy metal, you know, they had the Loch Nahr. They kept losing it, wanting to find it. So the question is, what have you lost that you'd like to find?
My sense of wonder.
Aww. I was hoping you would never lose that. Anybody?
Oh, well, there are definitely a lot of photographs that I know are somewhere that I would like to find. A lot of photos of me as a teenager that are in a specific photo album at the house that my ex-wife now occupies. And it's hard now to try and get over there and search
Have
for
your
it.
Children do it.
Well, they can't.
They're your inside man.
Are you worried they're going to find something they shouldn't?
No, I just don't think they're going to try very hard.
They're going to find Coonskin on DVD.
Yeah.
Next to Song of the South.
What is this, Dad?
That I wish. Well, yeah. So I just don't think that they're going to be very good. They're not good at looking for things.
Mm. Yeah.
No offense to you boys if you ever listen to this, but you're just not.
Everything was going great until my dad said I wasn't good for looking for things. Then everything was downhill from there. That's when I started using.
Looking for things. Do you have something you lost that you want?
Yeah, we have this fan in the living room that you can control with a remote control. And I miss it a lot.
I think I know where that remote is, you idiot.
Oh. I mean, besides that, I would say my sense of wonder. I have to go with Andy on that one.
Mine was a joke one. Haven't lost my sense of wonder.
I lost my girlish figure, and I sure would like to get it back.
My non-diabetic body.
Oh, yeah, feeling in my feet. Yeah. I thought we were talking about, objects.
It can be anything. As abstract as you want.
Yeah, I would like to have feeling in my feet again.
I'm going to say my virginity.
Oh, Andy, you've lost everything.
Because I'm not pure anymore.
No. You talking about your Hong Kong ears that you lost?
Oh, you have lost a lot.
Yeah.
I do lose a lot of things, but for real answer, like I remember my parents used to have a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have kept a lot of the like tiki glasses that we served our fun drinks in.
Yeah.
We have a couple, but like there's some I remember that were real cool that I wish I had still.
It's awesome. Believe it or not, I was a real awkward early teen.
No.
I know, right? So I did a lot of magic, and I had a lot of I was a magician, and I worked with a guy that was going to help me become a magician, but I was too nervous to get Gordon in front Jump? Of people. Yeah, it was Gordon Jump. He offered me pie and told me how much fun I could have with my clothes on. Anyhow, I had a ton of magic stuff, and I could do three or four different magic routines.
That's acts awesome. That
I did, but I never really did it for anybody else. And I always hope I can find all my magic stuff because there was a lot of money of magic. Good close-up magic. I spent a lot of time in my early teenage years and I can't find any of that stuff.
I'm sorry you didn't go on to become a magician.
Maybe that's how good of a magician you were. You made it disappear.
I did. It all disappeared.
Mike, if you ever find it, we could you could set up in front of the booth at Horror Hound and do tricks.
Do some tricks. Go.
I knew a kid turn some tricks. I knew a kid who did magic, and he went on to become a magician.
Ryan?
No, it's Phil Dalton, magician Phil Dalton.
Because also Ryan Swigert, shout out to him, very talented entertainer, magician. I started to say musician.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does all kinds of cool shit.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
But don't give up. You could still do it.
A weird connection was the guy. I went to the flea market, so I would go to the flea market, and he would teach me the tricks, and then I would buy them or whatever.
Like you should write this.
Yeah,
This is a good story.
But, well, this part isn't, so maybe I should just stop. Anyhow, he got accused of touching some kids, and so he asked me to be a character witness, and then I stopped doing magic. He never touched me, though, so that was there's a highlight. So
there well, there's a highlight, because maybe you got out situation. At just the right time.
He was into girls.
He dodged a wiener bug.
Yeah. I'd be like, why didn't he touch me?
Oh, Andy.
Yeah, he would be all anxious.
So I'm the last of the Tarlax.
You're the last.
And my movie is for the next show. Are you ready?
Ooh, yeah. I'm excited.
It's going to be hard to find the one I feel bad. It's Mermaids. And I think...
I'm not
even sure it's available to rent on iTunes.
So, I'll get it for you, Amy.
Well, what about everybody else?
I'm going to take care of right now. You guys can come over and watch it with us.
All right. It's Mermaids. It's Cher.
Yeah.
Oh.
Winona.
Winona Forever.
Yeah.
So it's something I remember watching a lot when I was a young lady.
Who's the other lady?
As a kid.
I used to watch
No, who's Cher's mom in count. That? It's an older
Snap
lady.
Out of it. Is that from Mermaids?
That's Moonstruck.
Okay.
It's Winona, Cher, and somebody else.
It's from 1990.
It's on Prime.
Oh.
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, but not him.
Christina Ricci. That's
it. Oh, Christina Ricci.
Yeah. I used to watch this all the time on HBO because it was a constant rotation on HBO.
Yeah, that's probably where I saw it too. So it's a little coming of age story. Can about I tell ladies. You?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
I never had any interest.
All right.
It's very good.
No, I have interest now.
Yeah.
I just as when it you know when it came out, I was
you weren't
like,
a girl that was coming of age.
It's in his kiss, right? That's the Cher song that came from this. Yeah.
Also, a song in "Made to Order." They sing "It's in His Kiss" a million times.
Mm.
That's Ally Sheedy and Beverly D'Angelo.
Oh yeah,
and Tom Skerritt. And Charles Nelson Reilly.
What?
You all should know also, just so you know.
What?
This the director of Mermaids.
Merms.
What?
Of Merms.
Oh, is it like one of those Did You Hear type things?
He was in Westworld.
Oh. Was it Yul Brynner?
The movie
it's Richard Benjamin. You know him.
Dick Benny.
You'll know him when you see him.
Dickie Benz.
But he's been in a ton of stuff. I think he was in Saturday the 14th.
Yeah.
Dickie so Benz. He the director has horror cred is my point.
Oh, it's and, all about the Dick Benjamins.
Yeah.
You know, baby. So it's got that going for him.
All right. So now's the time where we talk about our Beelzebubs. Again, patreon.com/NOTLP. You got that extra $1.50 a week now, guys. Tax cuts. Share Amy's the wealth. Snapping. All right. So we're going to start from the bottom.
That was our Foley.
Till we're here.
That was good Foley work. She wasn't actually snapping.
Yeah. I had to go to the studio after and smack two pieces of meat together.
Yeah.
We're going to start with Jimmy B.
Jimmy, how you doing?
Then we got Amanda.
Oh, we're doing them in weird order?
Yeah.
Oh, Amanda, hi.
From the bottom up. It devours you starting with your bottom.
Mm.
Lots of Buffy references for you today. Elise.
I love you when I watch your show.
LOL. That's my joke from earlier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you call back.
Mikey P.
What's up, Mikey P?
From Mikey B.
Ooh. Mark Watts.
Mark.
What?
So much power. 21 Jigo Mike Watts. Mark Watts. Mark Watts. Mark Watts.
Mark Watts.
Mark Watts.
Yeah, you keep saying the correct thing. It covers out your mistake.
I was talking too fast.
Amorpha?
Blake.
I'm sorry, who?
Balake.
Oh, no.
But you down in Texas.
We got Bill.
Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Schroeder.
How's New that paste picante sauce?
Yeah,
how is it? Oh, you don't have it there because it's made in New York City. Right. Not made in New York City.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Bill. Bill.
Max Headroom?
Bill.
Bill.
Oh, my God. Brandon Boone, who Georgie? We saw.
Yeah.
At Beer Fest.
Brandon Boone was in the silent disco wiggling his butt.
That is adorable. Oh my God. I'm going to jerk off to that. To that imagery.
They had a silent disco.
That's disgusting. So, yeah, they did.
Thank you, Brandon.
That's disturbing.
Andy, you don't have to say everything that comes to mind.
I'm okay with you saying it.
Yeah. I think Brandon would be very flattered that
we're not ever going to leave you two in a room alone together.
That's over with now.
Oh, Andy's a sexual predator.
If you can't leave people in a room alone with people that you've jerked off to, then I shouldn't be in a room with anyone.
My dogs?
They're not people.
Unless they are.
They think they're people. They're do you think you jerked off to them?
They're not human beings.
Elsa loves you.
I love hot
dogs. Treat She's Alex. A baby.
Treat and Alex.
Aww.
Treat and Alex. Treat and Alex.
Ooh. I don't know. We got to write a cartoon theme song for you guys.
Wish we had a forest full of trees and Alex's.
Kelly can't be in a room with them either.
Mm-mm.
We've got Albert.
What's
up, Albert?
My boy.
Can't be in a room with Albert either.
Mm-mm. Oh, he already knows that.
We've got Ernest, aka Ernie.
Hugs and love to Mr. Ernie.
Brooke,
you're just, I just can't even put it in words.
We've got Adam.
Oh, Adam. Adam, what do you give the man who has everything?
And we've got
How's Steve.
Oh, we've got Jeremy Bergmeister.
Oh, had fun with you guys last weekend.
Yeah, that was a good time.
You gave him the plague or something.
Yeah.
He's sick.
I gave them the plague. Yeah. That guy was like,
physically, here's the plague.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh,
you're like, it's a Lochnar. It's not bringing me any good. You guys should have it.
Yeah.
We got
it's your Lochnar, you bitch.
It's your Lochnar.
Our local friend, Zach.
That's right.
Exactly.
Also, he was sick. Yeah. Everybody's been sick.
I'm not feeling great right now, I'm going to tell you that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
And our newest Beelzebub, Mandy.
Welcome to the Clarity.
Mandy,
you're fine, girl.
You came and you saved me.
Oh, Mandy.
Thank you.
Then you came and
there's an actual song called Mandy, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the song.
You're doing Brandy.
Brandy, no, Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Brandy, you're a fine girl. Mandy, you came.
But my love, Mandy, you said my lady is the
I was hoping Freddie.
So I can't fuck you.
What?
I guess I can marry. You get married. I can fuck her, though. Wait, Brandy.
Okay.
You're fine girl.
You're not saying
my life, my love, and my lady is the C.
Yeah.
Could you I can't marry Brandy, but I can fuck her.
You should treat our Beelzebubs with a little more respect.
Not that. What?
You're
talking
like
about Brandy.
You just said you're gonna masturbate to all of them and fuck them.
Andy said that.
Andy's gonna do it. Everybody,
all right, we're going.
I'm talking about the song Brandy.
They should be flattered that I masturbate to them.
In the movie Wetlands, I forgot to say in my series of texts, she goes home with all this cum all over her hands.
Oh no!
Nope. And she goes
and she handles all the vegetables in the refrigerator, has sex with them, and puts them back
so she can get pregnant.
So next week,
I don't think it works that way.
We're gonna have a wholesome show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Freddie's going to review the open house.
We're
gonna
review Merms,
and we're all gonna talk about Merms.
Well, me and Cutter gonna make it real dirty.
Yeah, it's gonna be super dirty and be like
filth monsters.
Winona's big brown beaver.
Make some fish jokes.
Yeah.
My name is Mud.
That's right.
Not to be confused with
bunch of prize.
All right, everybody, have a great week.
Bye. Give me your love. Bye.